brothers and sisters in Christ. This Sunday, the Church in Australia observes Migrant and Refugee Sunday. Here we are blessed with the presence of many migrants and refugees, making it one of the most diverse and multicultural dioceses anywhere in the world. It is for this reason, perhaps, that Pope Francis, in his wisdom, appointed me, the first former refugee bishop, to lead a diocese in Australia. And so I feel that it is my privilege, as well as my duty, to be the voice for migrants and refugees. In fact, Pope Francis, in his message for this Sunday, invites us all, and not just a leader like me, to be the voice for the vulnerable and the voiceless. His message echoes the constant call of the gospel, which challenges us to go beyond our comfort zone, to engage with those who are on the outer ring of our circles of life. Our very journey to God is invariably linked to a missionary journey towards our brothers and sisters, especially those alienated, wounded, broken, and in need of recognition, acceptance, inclusion, and Christian love. Scriptures for this 21st Sunday exhort us to make the care of the vulnerable and the discipleship of self-giving the foundation or the bedrock of our Christian lives. Isaiah, in the first reading, denounces a fellow called Sheba because he has failed to use his position as the king's treasurer to care for the people. In his place, Eliakim was to be chosen to be the father of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the house of Judah. This prophecy is messianic in that the chosen king, Eliakim, was to be a figure of the ideal ruler who would bring God's true justice, love, and compassion to the people. The gospel tells us of the profession of faith by Peter at a very crucial point in their journey towards Jerusalem. After surveying the opinion polls about him, Jesus asks the same question of his disciples. "That's what the people said, that I am Elijah, John the Baptist, or one of the great figures. But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And it is to this question that Peter gives the answer, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What follows, however, is an unexpected lesson for Peter and the other disciples. Peter is praised, is complimented, applauded for recognizing that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And so he's called the Rock. However, in scriptures, the rock can be either the cornerstone or the stumbling block. So long as Peter lives out the call to emulate the suffering servant, he is the rock of strength. But if he refuses to be part of Christ's suffering, then he becomes the rock of offense. Indeed, Peter is soon rebuked, reprimanded, and called the stumbling rock, precisely because he wants to remove the cross from the mission of the Messiah and from the very Christian discipleship. He did not want any part of it himself. And so Peter has a steep learning curve on his way to become the foundation stone for the Christian community. Like Paul falling from his high horse, Peter also has his pride and ambition checked. He learns to carry the cross as a discipleship of trust, powerlessness, vulnerability, and self-sacrifice. He learns, as it were, to be led to places he'd rather not go himself. This is not simply geography, but above all, a metaphor for vulnerable trust, which is the essential quality for Christian living and witness. Dear friends, in many ways, the church today is, like Peter, being led to places that we'd rather not go. I'm not only referring to the crisis of diminishment in terms of vocations to the priesthood, religious life, or even worshippers in the pews. There is also a sense of diminishment in terms of the church's moral stature in society. From where I stand, there is precious little what I call trust capital left in the church leaders after the Royal Commission. Yet, it is not time for defensiveness or despair. Rather, it is precisely in this time of humility, that we must seek to rebuild, renew, and reimagine. And we do so, my brothers and sisters, by reclaiming not the former prestige, influence, or even affluence of the church, but reclaiming the essential quality for Christian living and witness. We simply must make the cross of Christ and the discipleship of powerlessness and valuable trust the cornerstone of the church again. Only by standing on the side of the powerless and the vulnerable, only by living authentically the call to poverty, simplicity, and humility, can our voice be credible again and our trust regained. It seems to me that the invitation to go to places that we'd rather not go is none other than the call to emulate the humble, the powerless, and the vulnerable Christ. It is the call to live more fully, more boldly, more humbly at the periphery. And this has been Pope Francis' constant challenge to the Church ever since he assumed the role of Peter's leadership. The Pope wants us to go to the margins, to stay close to those on the edges of life, to be that Church which is bruised, hurt, and even soiled, because that church has been daring. That church has been out on the streets and immersed in the coalface realities, or in a very graphic sense or graphic way, that church has acquired the smell of the sheep. It is the church that dares to do what Jesus did, to accompany the most vulnerable, to empower them to live more fully, or in the words of St. Paul in the second reading today, to experience the riches and even the depths of God. As Christians, we cannot remain content with status quo. Australia is a wonderful, even still a lucky country, But where it is in terms of our treatment of the most vulnerable, such as the homeless, the asylum seekers, the indigenous peoples, etc., should really galvanize us into action. And for this, today at Seven Hills, I will launch the Diocesan Initiative for working with asylum seekers and refugees, people seeking protection in our community. It is a partnership effort to really provide that circuit breaker for the vicious cycle of mistreatment of our most vulnerable brothers and sisters. And so we cannot, my dear people, be the disciples of Jesus if we ignore the plight of the marginalized and the voiceless. We cannot be salt and leaven if we allow our Christian conscience to be desensitized by the injustice and inhumanity in our society and in our world. So may our endeavor to replace a culture of fear and indifference with the Christian culture, the Jesus culture of encounter and acceptance, be brought to fulfillment in accordance with God's vision for the fullness of life and love for all.